This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. So as Mitchell said, we're going to start getting quarterly bank earnings tomorrow. The Wall Street biggies, all the names you're familiar with. And while we wait, here are a couple of data points perhaps of interest. At the end of last year, the four biggest banks in this economy, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo, had more than $9 trillion in assets. That's equivalent to about 35% of gross domestic product. So while you think about that, listen to this.
We have seen a flight from regional and community banks to quote-unquote too-big-to-fail banks.
That was New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez during a banking committee hearing at the end of last month, using a phrase you have probably heard a lot in the past 10 or 15 years.
Really, it's a misnomer. It really should be too essential to fail.
To me, it means the consequences of allowing the financial institution to fail in an uncontrolled way are too significant to bear.
It can trigger systemic effects throughout the economy.
That's Kathleen Day. She's a lecturer at Johns Hopkins. Eric Hilt, he's a professor at Wellesley. And Carola Friedman, she's at Northwestern. The trio that we go to from time to time to help us put our economic present into historical context. Today, too big to fail, the origin story. Too big to fail is something we talked about a lot during and after the financial crisis in 2008-2009. But it really entered the public policy vernacular back in the 1980s.
In Washington today, federal banking officials formally announced their plans to rescue the Continental Illinois Bank. It's the biggest bank bailout in history.
Continental Illinois was a commercial bank that grew extremely rapidly in the late 1970s and early 1980s.
Continental, the nation's ninth largest bank, has been bled almost to death.
Its business was focused on loans to Latin American countries and also loans to the oil and gas business, and both of them suffered significant downturns around that time.
There were even rumors that the bank might fail.
Some of what happened with Continental Illinois is going to sound familiar. Here again is Kathleen Day.
Its tentacles were deep and vast in a very key sector.
Continental Illinois was deep in oil and gas, and as we know, Silicon Valley Bank had its tentacles all over tech.
And very much like SVB today, Continental Illinois had a very large fraction of depositors holding above $100,000. So they were not actually fully insured by deposit insurance.
So when it began to realize losses, the depositors of Continental Illinois began to run on the bank.
The government was afraid that if Continental failed, it would trigger a chain reaction of other bank failures.
And the government had to intervene.
When the FDIC stepped in and promised to support even uninsured depositors, does that sound familiar? Well, back then there was a lot of debate about moral hazard.
This is one of the lessons of American capitalism in the last quarter of the 20th century. If you're big enough, you'll be rescued by the government if you get into trouble.
You can imagine what happened next, right? Congress. In the fall of 1984, up to Capitol Hill went some of the people involved in Continental Illinois for 3 days of hearings.
Nobody likes bailouts, right?
We don't like it. It stinks. We have to hold our nose. But
if there is no intervention, we might see negative consequences at an aggregate macro level.
And there is a moment in the hearing transcript. We don't have a recording, but there's a moment where a congressman from Connecticut says this.
With all due respect, I think seriously, we have a new kind of bank.
It is called Too Big to Fail, TBTF, and it is a wonderful bank.
Wonderful, of course, comes with air quotes there, but there it is, right? Too Big to Fail, TBTF, in the congressional record in 1984.
But if you go back farther in financial history, it's clear that there have been institutions that are too big to fail or too significant to fail.
We can trace back government interventions to specific financial institutions to centuries back, all the way to the 1300s.
Here's why you need to understand this.
The lesson is that the problem of too big to fail is not one that's easy to solve.
They knew even then, like way before Continental Illinois, that bank failures were unique, that they posed interesting questions about who should survive and who should be bailed out and who would pay for it.
It's very, very hard to regulate these issues away.
even after Continental Illinois in 1984 and then after Dodd-Frank in 2008, we still haven't figured this out.
It is a constant race to try to figure out where the risks are in the system and to try to address them, but it is not a very easy race.
The time to really think about the too big to fail, what I like to call too essential to fail issue, is when the sun is shining.
You know, whatever legal reforms you want to try to put in place to prevent them, they're not going to hold up in a dire emergency.
Because when there's a crisis, the liability of having such huge institutions comes home to roost. So you really should be thinking of these questions when there's not a crisis, but it's hard to get people's attention.
Attention will be paid to the Federal Reserve's report on SVB. That has been promised to us by May the 1st. Any guesses, by the way, on whether it is going to use the phrase too big to fail? Thanks once again to Kathleen Day at Johns Hopkins, Carola Friedman at Northwestern, and Eric Hilt at Wells.